ज्ञानंजन शलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्यागजं उरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथिता कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नेम 464 इज वीरबाहु, which means heroic arms, or the arms of a hero. So we naturally think, when we think of a hero, we naturally think of the Kshatriyas. Although Krishna never goes outside Vrindavan, when he came outside Vrindavan, he was accepted and acted as a Kshatriya. And Kshatriyas are known for having strong arms. They are actually manifested from the arms of the Supreme Lord. Brahmanas from the head, Kshatriyas from the arms, because the Brahmanas have to work with their head. And the Kshatriyas, they have to work with their arms. And the Vaishyas, they're like the stomach. They receive all the goods and then they distribute it. And Shudras are like the legs. They do the physical work. So the arms for the Kshatriya, that is the most important part of their physical system. And typically, they should have strong arms, so they practice. They do exercise also. Especially, they have to fire arrows. So they have to have very strong arms, because the stronger the bow is, the harder it is to string and to fire, because it'll have a very, very tight string. And to have a very tight string, you have to have a very strong bow. Otherwise, when you pull it, it'll break. And they would carry the bows and arrows on their arms. Even we see here Ramachandra Bhagavan, who appeared in the Surya Vamsa. And so he's sitting here in his court, but even then he has his weapons with him as an insignia. So they would, not only would they have very big strong arms, but they would be, their arms would be marked because of continually carrying bows, the bow and the arrows in a quiver. That would be the distinctive mark of them. There are other things also. The Kshatriyas, they generally have a very deep voice. They're very manly. When Krishna, on the advice of Uddhava, went to the place of Magadha Raj, Jarasandha. He went with Bhima and Arjuna, and they're all disguised as Brahmanas. So when they arrived in the city, they were accorded much respect. Brahmanas, unknown Brahmanas, traveling, wandering Brahmanas, and they came into the, just like here, the Darbar of Rama. So they came into the Darbar of Jarasandha. Generally when Brahmanas come to Kshatriyas, they come to ask some charity. Brahmanas are allowed to beg some charity. So they don't just come and say, hey, give me this and this and this. First of all, they have to praise the king, butter him up, so to speak, and tell him that, yes, you're well known as being charitable, and they will give the examples of previous great charitable personalities like Nriga and Shibi, and say that you are no less than them. So they were speaking like this, and Jarasandha was looking at them. He said, I think I've seen them somewhere before. He'd seen them at least 18 times before. 17 times he'd unsuccessfully attacked Mathura, and the 18th time Krishna enacted the pastime of running away. So he'd definitely seen them. Yeah, they look familiar, but I just can't work it out. Who are they? They don't seem to be Brahmanas. They talk in very deep voices, like commanding voices, whereas Brahmanas speak humbly, but Kshatriyas speak in a commanding tone. And they also have marks on their arms, just like Kshatriyas. Who are these? It seems like they're Kshatriyas described as Brahmanas. But anyway, if they're coming disguised, it means they degraded themselves. They can't present themselves straightforwardly. But anyway, if they come as Brahmana, they're anyway, whatever they want, I'll give them. He decided already. So then Krishna, who was doing the introduction, he said that, actually, we're not Brahmanas. This is Bhima. You know Bhima. This is his younger brother Arjuna, and I am your old enemy Krishna. And we came to beg a fight with you, because that's what we want actually. So Jarasandha laughed. He was so puffed up. He thought, Krishna, I won't fight with you. Because anyway, you're a coward, you ran away from me, forgetting that he himself ran away 17 times. And you're a killer of your own kinsmen, because he killed Kamsa. Not to mention that Kamsa himself had killed the brothers of Krishna. He forgot that, conveniently. And he said, Arjuna's just a boy. He's not fit to fight with me. So I find among you the only fit opponent is Bhima. So sometimes the Kshatriyas, they would also adopt some diplomatic means, taking a disguise. The Pandavas, they disguise themselves as Brahmanas when living in Ekchakra, which is the birthplace of Lord Nityananda. So they knew how to do that because they were raised among Brahmanas. They knew the Brahmana culture. And then again they took disguise when they're in the court of Virat. Anyway, the heroic arms are one of the signs of a Kshatriya. And often the Supreme Lord, his avatars are those of Kshatriyas, because he is doing the work of Vinashayata Dushkritam, killing the rascals. So as Krishna, as Rama, he came in Kshatriya form. Parashuram, he's the son of a Brahmana, but acted as a Kshatriya by killing all the Kshatriyas. As Lord Buddha appeared in a Kshatriya family, but then he took the role of a renegade Brahmana, actually. Not exactly a Brahmana, but something like that. And renegade, because he didn't accept the Vedas. You might have noticed that in the Ahobila Matam, there are pictures of the Dashavatara. Did you notice that? So, according to the Dashavatara Stotram in the Gita Govindam of Jayadev Goswami, the Dasha Avatar, they are Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasingha, Vamana, Parashurama, Rama, Buddha, Krishna and Kalki. But did you notice there was any difference there? Those of you who are from a Sri Vaishnava background, you may know that they take the Dashavatara, no Buddha, because he blasphemed the Veda. They don't take him. They have Krishna and Balarama. Balarama and Krishna, like that. So he is, in all these forms, he has very powerful, heroic arms for handling the weapons and killing all the demons. With his arms he can crush the demons. Also, in churning the ocean of milk, he manifested a form with so many arms. And all the arms, they're decorated. That's described in the 11th chapter of Kiritinam Gadinam Vastra. He's fully the Vishvarupa, all the forms, they're fully decorated. Helmets and bracelets. So the arms are fully decorated also with effulgent bracelets, armlets. Of course he has four hands with different weapons. So he has two hands, four hands, six hands, eight hands, ten hands, thousand, unlimited, sarvata pani padam tat sarvatokshi shiromukam. He has, everywhere are his hands, everywhere are his eyes and head. So a real vira, a real hero, is someone who is not just powerful and destroys others, but he is dharmavir. He acts to protect, he uses his strength to uphold dharma and to protect the citizens from various rascals. Now, another way, one example in that regard, Ravana, he also had plenty of arms. But he was a rascal, number one. He used his arms for stealing away the wives of others. So Ram, with his two arms, he killed 20 armed Ravana. Now, another heroic activity that Krishna does with his arms is to embrace the gopis. and all the others. So arms, they are for fighting and for embracing also. So the gopis, the queens in Dwaraka, they very much want to be embraced by the serpentine hands of Krishna. Sometimes Krishna's arms, they're compared to be like a snake. Generally we think a snake is not very good, but in this comparison, means they're long and smooth. So the next name is Vidarana, name 465. This may not be so well understood. Virabahu you can understand very easily. But Vidarana means one who tears apart. Vidarana means the act of tearing apart. So Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning of this name in relationship to Bakasura, who Krishna took the two beaks and killed him by pulling them apart. Even though that Bakasura was huge like a mountain, but little boy Krishna grabbed his two, because he was coming like this, trying to catch Krishna. But instead, Krishna caught his open mouth and just pulled them apart, tearing apart. That we're talking about Jarasandha, well, that was, Krishna also gave advice to Bhim to kill Jarasandha by that very method, tearing him apart. So, who tears apart, who cuts, just like in Mohini Avatar, Mohini Murti, cut the head of Rahu. Why particularly Mohini? He cut so many heads. Sudarshan Chakra is regularly cutting heads. Shishupal, so many. So many he's cutting. But particularly mentioned here by the commentator, Sri Vaishnava commentator, is because he often gives a series of names, he associates them with one particular avatar. So this series of names he is associating with Mohini. So by her Sudarshan Chakra, she also cut the head of Rahu. And Hiranyakashipu, he also ripped him apart with his nails. He was able to rip him apart. And he also cuts the sins of his devotees. That's the meaning of the name Vinkata. It's a popular name in this part of the world. Vena means sin and cut means to cut. So Venkat means the same as Vidarana. He tears apart or cuts the sinful people, and he also cuts to pieces the sinful reactions and the sinful desires of his devotees. Because someone may be a devotee, but they still have sinful desires. We probably all find ourselves in that position. What to speak of us? Even someone on such a high level as Bilvamangala Thakur, he had some, even after deciding to renounce his lusty, lascivious lifestyle and go to Vrindavan, still he became attracted by the beauty of a woman. So he himself cut out his eyes. We shouldn't follow, we should follow in the footsteps and not imitate. Otherwise we'd all be blind. If we all followed this example, probably, I don't know about, probably. If we followed Chota Haridas's example, we should remember his example, but we should suicide our material desires, because we need devotees to preach also. Otherwise, the Triveni would be full of dead bodies. So, we should have faith also, that just as Nrisimha, he cuts to pieces the sinful Hiranyakashipu, that he will cut to pieces the sinful desires in our hearts that impede our being able to properly serve Krishna. This prayer, Srila Prabhupada recommended in his purport to this verse, that we have a practice of chanting this verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namastejas Tejase Aviravi Bhava Vajranakha Vajradangshra Karmashaya Randhaya Randhaya Tamograsagrasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyashta Om Shrom. This is a prayer to Lord Nrsimhadev, who has nails and teeth just like thunderbolts. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, who is the power or the dynamism that gives, he's the root of all power and dynamism. Teja. I'm trying to say it in English, but if you remember the original word, it's easier. If you're trying to translate power, dynamism, just remember the original word. Tejas, avir, avirba. He's appeared with very powerful nails and teeth. He appeared for the sake of killing Hiranyakashipu. Vajranaka, Vajranaka. But we pray to him in the same way that you ripped apart Hiranyakashipu. You ripped to pieces the desire for working and enjoying in this material world, and award fearlessness. If we're protected by Nrsimhadev, then surely we should be fearless. Now this is the prayer of a devotee, remembering that he rips to pieces. So we don't want to be like him. We should remember also, if we want to be a sinful rascal like Hiranyakashipu, then Krishna, through his agency of the external energy, will rip us, crush us, beat us, kick us, burn us, literally. We have to suffer in this material world. In the beginning stages of spiritual life, it's a good incentive to remember that if we're not careful, if we slip, or if we go away from the path of spiritual advancement, and we think, let me enjoy this world, we have to suffer. That is unavoidable. We should remember that. But the punishment that someone who's taken to bhakti, the punishment that they have, they will have. It's not that, oh, I'm a devotee, so now I can go and do all sinful activities. Krishna will protect me. Yes, he'll protect us by giving us suitable punishment, bringing us back to our senses. We may have to suffer. We can't... A proper king, if his son... The son is obviously the prince, but if the Raj Kumar, the prince, acts wrongly, then a proper king will punish him. He doesn't think, he's my son, so he can do whatever he likes. No, he'll punish him more severely. Because if someone having that privileged position misuses, if he thinks he can misuse it, it's very dangerous for the whole population. If someone has that power and they misuse it, it's very, very dangerous for the people. So the king must punish him. Must punish him properly. And teach him that you don't do that. Your duty is to protect the citizens. Not that you use your situation to exploit the situation for sense gratification. So, if we do something wrong, Krishna will punish. You don't think that we can get away with it. But the punishment of one's own son is meant for his rectification. And the punishment of a hardened criminal, it's also with the hope of rectification, but it's not really with the hope that his heart will change, but just to, as a warning to others, and by keeping him in jail, then he can't, or by chopping off his hand, as in Sharia law, it's a warning to others, and then he can't commit the same sinful activities. So a devotee, he can remember that Krishna can be very severe also. He's very sweet. We just in the previous names have come there. Sukada, Suhrit, Manohara. These are names which show the sweetness and the kindness and the benevolence of the Supreme Lord. But he's all rounder. It's not just one side. That whatever you want, okay, I'll give. But for our benefit, he gives us not what we want, but what we need. And if we don't want Krishna, then we'll get what we need, which is the suitable lesson or punishment by which we can understand that actually we should desire to serve Krishna and not desire anything else. So he also tears apart our, at the moment our consciousness is completely absorbed in thinking I am this body. We identify the body as ourself. Although asango vayayang purusha, the Atma has no actual connection with the body. So by giving us the proper knowledge, he cuts the connection between the body and the soul. The connection between the body and soul is cut by death, but someone who cuts it by understanding that I'm not this body, then he is jivan mukta. Anyway, we have to become mukta, we have to become free from this body. In the Gita, Krishna speaks of mukta kalevaram, becoming free from the body. But better than, anyway you have to die, but we have to become free from the bodily concept of life. Then one becomes jivan mukta. One becomes liberated in this very life. So Krishna gives that knowledge, and that knowledge, it pierces or cuts our misconceptions. Bhidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sarva sanshayaha. The message, the Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam in Srimad Bhagavatam is that not mukta sangasya jayate, it's that knowledge, the knowledge, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead by which we become free from all material attachments. So that pierces our material attachments. Such verses, there are many such verses in Bhagavatam. For instance, Nunang pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritya aprinoti na sadhu manya yata atmano yam asannapi kleshada asadeha. That the basic principle of material, Nunang pramata kurute vikarma. Certainly people are insane who perform sinful activities for the sake of sense enjoyment, because such activities cause them to be born again and again, to suffer again and again. This is not good. So there are many such instructions in Bhagavata which are meant for cutting our attachment to this material world. And in this way we become detached from the body and everything to do with it. Now, Nrisimhadev, he also, particularly Nrisimhadev helps us in that advancement in Krishna consciousness by cutting away our material desires. And there is a verse composed by Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on the Bhagavatam, in which this Vidarana is said, the one who pierces. Sridhar Swami was a great devotee of Nrisimhadev, and again in his commentaries on Bhagavatam, he offers obeisances to and glorifies Nrisimhadev. So in his commentary on Bhagavatam, first canto, second verse. Can you bring that Bhagavatam, first canto? From his commentary on the first verse of the first chapter of the first canto. Sridhar Swami, he gives a verse. Give this. 1, 2, 21. Prahlada hridayahladam bhakta vidya vidaranam sharadindu riching vande parindra vadanam harim. So you may have heard that bhakta vidya vidarana. So he's the one who pierces or cuts to pieces the avidya, the ignorance in the heart of the devotees. He is Prahlada Hridayahladam. He is the one who gives bliss in the heart of Prahlad. He cuts the ignorance or lack of proper knowledge in the hearts of his devotees. He is beautiful like the moon in the autumn season, and his face is like that of a lion. So let me offer my obeisances to him. And that verse. Yeah, I was going to quote that. I already quoted it. Vidyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarva sangshayaha kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmani svare. By hearing the message of the Bhagavatam, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated. One sees the self as master. So when one sees oneself as Atma, by hearing this message again and again, again and again, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then all the knot in the heart, the hard knot by which we're tied in this material world, material attachments, becomes cut. And all doubts are cut to pieces. Then we can see we are the Atma. We are not the body. So in this way, Vishnu is Vidarana. Hare Krishna. So I'll finish there pretty much on time. And there'll be now prasadam again, is it? Anyone hungry after? Had a big feast, is it, at midday? So, Hare Krishna. Then we'll assemble again tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's welcome. Some of you live some distance away, but if you can get up early enough, you could come here at 5 o'clock.